scumbags!
Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people of Bust Them, and everybody else in between along for the ride. It's the Monday night meltdown edition of the program, and the Edmonton Oilers are melting down in a must-win against the Chicago Blackhawks. The Pittsburgh Penguins were in a must-win situation. They step up and get it done as the tide turned. Carolina continues to rock the Rangers like a hurricane. So the Rangers are now down two games to none. You have to love afternoon NHL playoff hockey in the month of August. There's a first time for everything, all right? NBA basketball, Lakers get it done here this evening. Lakers looking to wrap up the top seed. It was more of a formality more than anything else. The Lakers get it done here this evening, 116 to 108. Game goes over the number, like so many of these NBA games have been going in the bubble so far. Speaking of totals, National Hockey League, man, it's been a Gravedigger special. It's been an under-palooza with the exception of Chicago and Edmonton, which was predictable and so predictable. You guys know, I don't bet that many hockey overs. If I'm betting a hockey over, then you know it's like, oh, it's going over for sure. I had to jump on the wagon on this, and the Edmonton Oil just can't hang on to a lead against the Chicago Blackhawks. We track it. Jason B. Takafin will step up, and then former general manager of the Vancouver Canadiens baseball team, longtime minor league general manager, baseball scout executive, kicks it with us here this evening. We'll talk some Major League Baseball. Aaron Judge keeps on hitting home runs until I bet on him to hit a home run. Day late, dollar short, as they say. But the Yankees do get it done as monster favorites this evening. Big story from the Diamond tonight, Mike Soroka, Atlanta Braves ace. Soroka goes down, freak injury, trying to cover first base, steps off the hill, tries to run over to cover the bag, and just sort of harmlessly falls, except, the Achilles tore. He's down. He's out. It's only a 60-game season, so he's out for the entire season. We'll talk some baseball. We'll talk NBA basketball. The Raptors get it done against the Miami Heat earlier in the day, as they're now 2-0 in the bubble right now. Collision course with the Milwaukee Bucks. Hop up and in. Vent your rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
I'm a rageaholic. I just can't live without rageahol.
Sports Rage Late Night. I am Gabriel Morenci. Let's do this thing. Late Night Anger Management Professor in the house. 844-843-6879. We'll hit the pipelines a little bit later on. NHL playoffs in full effect right now. And if anybody was wondering about the intensity of what the NHL playoffs were going to be in the midst of a pandemic, ask no more, as these teams are killing each other. End-to-end action, very intense hockey. And, you know, listen, is it what it used to be? No, it's not 25, 30 years ago when there were, brawls before the game started. It's a new world right now. But, as you know, from a modern hockey perspective, I got to say, these dudes are freaking bringing it. And, you know, listen, I don't know if the NHL is getting upset or anything, because the players are not following any sort of protocol whatsoever out there. They're in a bubble. They've been tested. So, you know, they shouldn't have coronavirus if none of them have it, right? But, you know, we were talking about it before the playoffs started. What are they going to do? Like, are they going to put a bunch of dudes in a penalty box? Yes, indeed. And kind of strange. I noticed if they can, they'll send a dude to the room if it's the end of the period, etc. But the Canadians had a full box tonight in the penalty box. You know, the NHL said no scrums after the whistle. No one's listening to that. There's all kinds of scrums. There's all kinds of scrums. And I don't know, but it's just me. But there seems to be more fighting than there actually usually is. Winnipeg and Calgary, coming into the playoffs, I thought Winnipeg and Calgary, I was like, wow, that's going to be a bloodbath. Like those two teams playing. But I brought up and I said, you know, but we're in a pandemic. We'll see. And the Flames are just a very, like, easy team to hate if you play them. I don't hate the Calgary Flames, but it seems like everybody that plays them does. And, you know, the Jets hate each other for real. Like, it's real. And Winnipeg showed a lot today, evening up that series. I believe the Jets are going to find a way to get it done. But let's give credit where credit's due and tip our cap. We've taken pot shots at Gary Bettman over the years in the National Hockey League. But I say, you know what, we tip our cap. They've put on a very good show. The television production is good. And, you know, my deal is I just don't understand. You know, like they have like the tarps up over the seats. I just don't understand why they don't project NHL logos, the team logos on the tarp. You don't even need to get tarps. You could just like project it. With today's day and age, like, you know what I mean? They got hologram logos and stuff like that. Like, it looks very good when they show the wide rink shot. But when you're watching the game, you don't see that. Now, listen, the action is good. And you know, it's the presentation isn't everything. The presentation is good. It looks crisp. It looks clean. But I just, you know, I don't understand why they have, like, the logos and the video screen on the side in the stands. In the upper deck. It just doesn't make sense. You can't see it on TV. You only see it once in a while. And when you see it, you're like, oh, that looks cool. Like, I want to see that more. But you don't see it. Like, it's baffling to me. Like, I don't know if they thought it was distracting or whatnot. But I understand that even. But, you know, they have, like, an NHL logo on the tarp. But they only have one logo. It just kind of looks bare. Like, to me, it's like, guys, like, just put a couple of more things lower. If you can't put the screen there, fine. But put a couple of more NHL logos, mix in a couple of team logos, you know, put a logo of the Stanley Cup up. You know what I'm saying? It's the playoffs. You know, it's not rocket science, but nevertheless, it's a small complaint, but they're doing a good job. But, you know, listen, it's not Gary Bettman that's competing out there. So we give credit to the players for competing at the level that they're playing at. And you know, the fact is, NHL players, there's a competitiveness and a competitive factor in the National Hockey League and amongst NHL players that there just isn't in any other league. Now, the NBA, the stereotype about the NBA, that NBA players don't try, that's garbage. Like, anybody that watches the NBA on a nightly basis knows. These dudes are freaking trying. Yeah, like, if you watch that Spurs-Sixer game, you think those guys were trying tonight? You know, like, they try. The NBA's gotten better at that. Like, the NBA was like that. The NBA used to be, it's a blowout. The other team's going to quit. Like, teams don't quit anymore. Like, with modern basketball and the three ball, with the three ball, you can get back in a game fast, and players know it. So there's no tapping out, really. And NBA basketball is extremely competitive. And, you know, the players do a good job. Like, they've really, you got to give credit to the modern NBA player for it. They do compete. But with all that being stated, NFL is a high level of competition out there. Players are motivated for different reasons, like Bo Schembechler stated. You might be motivated for a contract, you're through free agency, whatever reason, but it is a high level of competition on a field. Like, NFL football teams, most of them want to win. You know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, they're risking their lives. They're, you know, not just their lives, but it's a violent sport. It, you know, you're not going to play football and sort of half-ass it. But with all that being stated, the NHL, that's the one thing about the NHL. Like, when you bet on an NBA game in the regular season, it's like, all right, man, it's 82 games. They're going to try, but there's going to be off nights, and teams are going to roll over a bit, all right? Baseball, same thing. Now, we're in a pandemic now, so the rules are a little different now. Teams, that's another thing, too. There's more of an urgency, it seems, to everybody now in sports. But it's the one thing that I'll give credit to the NHL in the regular season for is the level of competition. Like, if you bet on an NHL team in the middle of February, the middle of October, you're going to get the same effort. Like, you know what I mean? Like, even in the standings, you'll get the same effort. It doesn't mean you'll win. It doesn't mean they're good. You know what I mean? But I'm not saying every team in the NHL is good, but you will get an honest effort every night in the NHL for players. And then when you get to the playoffs, like, they're willing just to do anything to win a hockey game. And, you got to give them credit for it. So the NHL playoffs have been entertaining, even though there have been lower scoring games. And it's been very entertaining if you're betting on the unders. Very entertaining if you're betting on the unders. So we'll bang on the morning NHL playoff games and afternoon games because, we're not going to be on. These games are going to be over by the next time we talk to you on tomorrow's edition of Game Time Decisions. We'll get into the NBA as well, get you caught up to date with the NBA standings as far as the play-in goes. Heartbreaking loss tonight for the San Antonio Spurs. And I'll tell you what, the Spurs were a team that many thought, including myself, that we're just sort of showing up and we're going to, check in and check out of this bubble. Yet, the Spurs have surprised people and they won their first two games. They were in a tough spot today going back to back. They played yesterday. They were playing again today against the arrested Philadelphia 76ers club. And it was a wild, high-scoring basketball game that was going back and forth. Shake and Bake Milton hit a big three late. DeMar DeRozan's been going off for the San Antonio Spurs. But even with the loss, the Spurs are in a play-in right now. And I don't even know. Like, basically, if you look, there's going to be a bunch of teams in a play-in when it's all said and done. Like, they were a little bit too loose with this. You know what I'm saying? With the three, cut it to within 3.5. It's like, well, yeah, New Orleans is probably going to cut it to 3.5. Portland's cutting it to 3.5. San Antonio already has cut it to less than 3.5. So, I'm sure the NBA, I don't know. Maybe they just want a million play-in games to a play-in game to a play-in series, Give us more. Jason B. Takaford steps up and then next, you can do. Sports Rage Late Night, bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
Portrays late night. I had Gabriel Morenci kicking it. Monday night meltdown. I should say it's a Monday marathon as we have games going on from the early morning hours, from high noon all the way into the late night hours. It's great stuff. NHL, NBA, Major League Baseball, and of course Major League Baseball was seemingly on the ropes last week. There was a lot of a lot of corona outbreaks. The commissioner of Major League Baseball basically threatened the players and said, if you guys don't start following the protocols better, and listen, that was kind of a cop-out. As Rob Manfred said, if the sport doesn't start taking care better care of itself, you're the commissioner of the sport. But the fact of the matter is, word on the street is, and you can't keep anything a secret anymore, the rumors were all true. The Marlins did go to a strip club. They did go out and party. They went like in different places. Some of them went to a hotel bar. Some of them, basically the Marlins, and Derek Jeter came out and
basically acted like they went to like a seniors home to deliver like goods to seniors. Like, oh, one guy went out just to get groceries. Another guy went out to visit a family member. It's like, dude, no one believes you. All right. And you know what's bad when Rachel Nichols says no one believes you on Twitter to Derek Jeter. Listen, Jeter is a guy that used to come home at 6 a.m. every morning. But he was a legend, so nobody said it. It added to his legendary status, so he defends it. Word is the Cardinals went to a casino. And, you know, so we can criticize the commissioner all we want, but it is up to the players to follow protocol and not be idiots. Let's bring in Jason B. Tackerman right now. Tackman joins us, longtime baseball executive, general manager of the Vancouver Canadiens. How you doing, Jason? Thanks for joining us.
Gabe, Derek Jeter giving advice or telling people to not go out after games is like you and me giving people hair advice. You know? Like, come on. He's supposed to look at people and say, we didn't expect it, and supposed to act like the sad dad. Like, what did they expect? And that's the trouble with not having a bubble, is that you don't create the great environment that the NHL and NBA has created for its players, where you simulate real life. And you say, look, we know you want to go out. We don't want this. This is just the best opportunity that we have right now. Baseball, they're all over the place. And they are on the ropes. Like, I think you hit the nail on the head there. Keith Olbermann came out on Friday night saying that MLB has told local TV networks to plan for other shoulder programming or replacement programming. That's a pretty big report, especially after just a little bit over a week of playing. I don't know. Like, I'd love to say I'm optimistic to finish the season. There's just more bad news after more bad news, right?
Well, it was clearly a threat for real. I think that was the message from Major League Baseball to put it out there publicly. I don't think they ever called Tony Clark and said, you know, listen, we're going to shut things down if it doesn't get better. I think that was their way of sort of threatening the players. And listen, I'm not in Major League Baseball clubhouses. But from what I understand, players like that are taking it seriously are getting upset, right? You know, look, like the Yankees don't have a problem. The Dodgers don't have a problem. You've got teams with, you know, aspirations and goals of winning. And that's why it surprises me, the St. Louis Cardinals, the Marlins, not fully. The Marlins at first, I actually, you know, the Marlins played victim at first, bro, right? Like, they were upset their names, and it was out there that they had coronavirus. Well, what do you think, guys, when you cancel the series? What do you think? We all think you have food poisoning. Like, you all right. Broke your ankle at the same time. We know, right? But at first, I was like, wow, they live in Florida. What do you want from these guys? And it's like, no. Then you find out when they were in Atlanta, they went out to the strip clubs. And basically, the Marlins, not just the strip clubs, but they partied a lot. Whatever, the Marlins are a bunch of dumb young kids. Doesn't surprise me, okay?
No, but they know.
The St. Louis Cardinals. I was just going to say, though, Jay, sorry, the Cardinals, though, on the other hand, a team that I picked to win a division, and one of the reasons I picked them to win a division, because they're smart. But I guess because you play smart baseball doesn't mean you're going to be smart all the time. Now, listen, we can't confirm this guy, that guy, and I'm not, you know, we're not naming this or that, but it's pretty much out there. The Cardinals were seen at the casino and partying and no masks, no nothing, everything's fine. And now they're all backed up, and they'll pay the price for it because the Cubs are out there winning baseball games, and they're not missing games. And they're going to have to make up these games after, and you're going to be under a lot of pressure to try to win these games. It just surprises me some of the decision that these guys make when, you know, it's only 2 months. How hard is this, Jason? Don't be stupid.
I know. And the other thing is that a lot of these guys have given up big money. Like, a lot of these guys, especially look at some of the Dodgers players, you know, they've seen their salary been reduced by 100 games. So they're like, look, we're going to try for a ring here, and we're also losing money. Like, we don't need sort of the triple crown of crap. Like, we need to just be on our best behavior, go to some hotel room with the guys, hang out, video games, you know, poker, this and that. You don't need to go out. Now, that said, they are human beings. It is expected they're going to go out. They have a lot of money. They need a release after games. They are not, their schedule is a bit nocturnal. It doesn't make them awful players. It actually just what it really highlights is the fission between and the disconnect between the players' union and MLB baseball. Rob Manfred is referring to his players as they, right? I'm going to call the union head. it's you can see right away in the language it's two different entities. And right there, that's your biggest problem, is that they're fighting each other off the bat, terrible pun, but off the bat, they're fighting each other. And that sets the tone right there. And you know what? If the MLB owners want to hire a commissioner who's a labor lawyer, they want to crush the union, they want to crush minor league baseball, awesome. But then you're going to get stuff like this, because then it's out of his wheelhouse. He's not a holistic, you know, sort of commissioner. He's there to just make the owners a little bit more money. And this is what you get.
He's a CEO. That's what he is. Exactly. He's a CEO. He called the World Series champion trophy a piece of metal before.
Gary Bettman
hasn't even said something.
Especially because he's been in baseball for a while.
Yeah.
Very odd thing to say.
Yeah, not odd. Yeah, dumb. Very dumb. You know, but like you said, there's
a division. Warm and fuzzy.
There's a massive division between everybody. But then there is even amongst veteran players and younger players. And you hear that a lot as well. And, you know, that was the thing with the NBA, in which it's like, you know, there's a lot of young idiots in this league. Like Joel Embiid, of all people, said, I don't even trust half the guys on my team to not be stupid. And I'm sure that went over well in the room. He goes, I don't even trust the young guys on my team. It's like, bro, you're not that old, and you're kind of dumb yourself. You do a lot of dumb things.
Right.
But that's beside the point. Yeah. But he showed up in a hazmat suit. So, like, Joel Embiid is a 1,000,000%, like, freaked out about the virus. Like, he's like, I don't trust NBA players with this. That's why it's so good we're in a bubble. So it's up to the players, and I've heard that, you know, some players, you know, basically the veteran players have to tell everyone in the clubhouse. It's a unique year, guys. You know what I mean? The season's 20% over, essentially, already. Just chill out.
Right.
You want to get drunk? Get drunk in a hotel, man. You know what I mean? Get drunk in the hotel. I know it sucks, and you know, because that's, you know it better than anyone. You were around these guys, and you said they need a release after. Like, totally get it. It's hard to stay in all the time. And I'm thinking about the fans, Jason, okay? And we're seeing how little impact sports fans really have on the game. Like, look at the NHL playoffs. It's great. Like, you know, yeah, whatever. Fans, whatever. Athletes don't miss the fans. Like, they don't. You're not hearing them, oh, it's just not the same without the fans. They don't even like fans. But I was thinking about, you know what they do miss? They miss the adulation, man. They miss the nightclub after the game. They miss the fans with the big breasts. And the chick fans after the game, right? I was thinking about that, and you're almost going to get a better effort in these bubbles right now, man. Because, dude, even when it was in the playoffs, the Toronto Maple Leafs are an immature team. They go out and get wasted, bro, even in the playoffs. Even if they're down, you know what I'm saying? They can't now. You know what I mean? They can't. Same with NBA teams. Like, a lot of guys, man, right after the game, they're going right to the club or they're going to hang out with some chick somewhere, you know. They can't do any of that right now. So it almost brings the focus back in. And baseball players, you know them, man. They're young dudes. They like to party and they like to go to clubs.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I think players do like fans. They may not like having to sign autographs every game. And then if you snub one person, that's the one that goes viral. They may not be able to, you know, feel the difference in the, you know, in the arena, because they're very locked in and they just want to get the games in. If anything, they're getting the games in because of the big TV contracts they have because of the fans. So if anything, they love the fans. They love the fans that are watching the games on TV so that they can get paid.
I think they love the fans' money.
I don't know. I'm not that cynical. I think they do love the fans. I think they were fans growing up, which made them get into it. You know, there's very few people. They're like an Andre Agassi that kind of resent their sport because they're just good at it or were forced to play. Again, they might not want to sign every autograph every single time, but I think they do love the fans. But yeah, their routine, like you said, their routine of post-game pregame, that is definitely thwarted. And that definitely would throw them off. And that would actually test which teams have the best leadership to circumvent that and to kind of go around. Okay, our routine is off. We can't go out. We can't do our team dinners at this place whenever we go to this city. Let's say it's Vancouver, they go to Joe Forte's or something for the team. They can't do that. How are we going to be able to simulate life in our bubble? And in baseball, they haven't been able to do that.
Jason Takafin kicking it with us. We'll get into Mike Soroka's injury. Take a look at the baseball standings And, you know, listen, I think we are going to be able to get through the season. I think the players did sort of get a little bit of a wake-up call in seeing, you know, because they all know. The players all know what the other players did. So I think they know. Listen, that team went to a strip club. They got sick. Those guys went to that casino. They got sick. We need to be smart about this, right? You can't blame everything on Rob Manfred. Sports Rage Late Night continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
My name's Bobby and I am an addict.
Hey, Bobby. Hey, Bobby.
You know, you folks aren't here because you're gamblers. You are here because you are terrible gamblers.
Okay, Bobby.
These folks don't need to stop doing what they're doing. They just need to get better at it.
Sports Rage Late Night continues. I am Gable Morenci. 844-843-6879. Level one. We're kicking it right now with Jason Takaffin. And talking about the St. Louis Cardinals, so Major League Baseball postpones the Field of Dreams game after 13 Cardinal players and staffers test positive for COVID-19. They were going to play August 13th, Field of Dreams in Iowa and all that other type of stuff. And so I hope the Cardinals are happy right now. But with that being stated, you know, this is the first good decision Rob Manfred's made like in his career. It's a bad idea to play this game in the first place. Just looks like it was a bad idea to expand the playoffs. You know, you're canceling games in the regular season, but you're greedy enough to tack on some playoff games. And one team that will be in the playoffs, especially in a 16-team playoff format, and we're playing great baseball, real bad break tonight, Mike Soroka. Pitcher that, you know, not a household name, but really one of the great young up-and-coming aces in Major League Baseball. Had a great start to the campaign this year, early in the baseball game. I guess you've seen this a million times, Jason, but seems so freaking harmless, man. He was just trying to run over to first base to cover the bag. He's on the mound. He awkwardly sort of stumbles off the mound. And then he didn't even realize he was hurt. He tried to get up. And then you saw he realized, you know what, I'm screwed. And then he let a big F-bomb go. And you knew when he dropped the big F-bomb that you knew he knew something was pretty off right there. But real freak injury there tonight for Mike Soroka.
Yeah, he was definitely turning into a household name. He was second in Rookie of the Year, sixth in Cy Young last year. Young budding ace, and of course, Canadian born. So if a Canadian born person, you know, young guy is going to curse, you know, it's bad. But you know, he's hopefully he can have sort of a Marcus Stroman like recovery where he kind of speeds up his timetable like Stroman did in 2015 to start game five against the Rangers. He's going to be out this year, probably out a little bit next year, really tough blow for the Braves, but they keep chugging along on the field. They got a great organization. They've got a very deep farm system. It's hard to replace a budding ace, or it's hard to replace someone who is on pace for another great year. But I think if there's one team who's going to be able to handle that and absorb that loss, I think it's the Braves.
They seemingly do find a way time and time again. And it's not like they, you know, their pitching staff isn't blowing people away with the names that they have there, but they came into tonight's baseball game, you know, set with a 7-3 record. So John Heyman is reporting, here it is right now. We were just talking about this. Insider, Major League Baseball Network, WFAN, New York, et cetera. So John Heyman says, yes, a couple of Cardinals did go to a casino, as others suggested. So Major League Baseball has now tightened its rule on players leaving the team hotel. And quite frankly, yeah. I was sort of thinking that it was almost sort of needed, to be honest, right? Number one, I was surprised that baseball didn't have a designated sort of doctor. And I'm not saying you need like an Ivy League, you know, brain surgeon, you know, in every room, but a doctor that could have prevented like a team like from, you know, the Marlins from taking the field. And the Marlins were voting whether they were going to play or not, even though they knew like half of them had coronavirus, et cetera. So that was number one. And number two, quite frankly, I was just sort of surprised that Major League Baseball didn't put it in the contract that we're sending an MLB security with each team. You know what I mean? We're sending a security with each team. And, you know, we're not going to pull a gun.
That's not realistic because those guys don't want to be snitches. And it's not realistic to think that those guys are going to be sort of, you know, good cop, bad cop. Listen.
I like what the Saints have done, Jason. The Saints. Well, so evidently they're not because, you know what I mean? They're causing a cancellation of games. So by being unprofessional, I like what the New Orleans Saints have done. And the Saints have basically rented out a hotel, four floors of a hotel, and they're giving the players the option. They're like, listen, if you want to stay at home, stay at home. But we encourage that you stay in this hotel during you know, the season or camp or as much as you can. And basically, I like their idea. They're not forcing anybody. And they basically said, you want to come and hang out here, you know, whatever. And so they rented out the hotel, and already 150 of the 180 people in the organization are in. So, like, they're sort of bottling it up themselves. And, you know, you're going to have to be ultra-aggressive like this, right? You just are. Otherwise, you can't trust these guys.
Yeah, I if the NFL is thinking about anything but the bubble, you know, Major League Baseball is a perfect example about what not to do, at the very least. How to not underestimate COVID and its impact.
Yeah, I've been, the last couple of days I've stayed away from it just because it's depressing. But you are right. The thing is, the NFL can't do a bubble. They're not going to do a bubble. It's too late. If they were going to do it, they would have already had to have started to plan it. They're not doing it. And the thing with the NFL is, same with, like, kind of like baseball. As you mentioned, it's a good point. They, right? They're adversarial. It's not we. It's they. And the NFL is playing a dangerous game. I talked about it last night, guys, and I said to everyone here, Jason, I said, you know, the players basically had until, so it turned out it was August 9th. So it was until Sunday. They had until this Sunday to opt out if they wanted to. And not be penal, you know what I mean? They can opt out due to COVID reasoning and no one could be upset like the Patriot players have done. Except the NFL, like, basically told them, no, we need to know by this Wednesday. And they're trying to, like, force the player's hand right now, which is because the NFL is getting panicked. It's up to, like, 40-plus guys. And while the average person doesn't care, coaches do care. Like, they're losing their players. And they're concerned there's going to be a big wave of a bunch of dudes that are going to tap out. And it's almost like they're baiting them and challenging them too. But my deal with the NFL is too, Jason, I just don't see how it's physically possible to be naive enough that you think you're going to play 16 games in 17 weeks, Sunday night football, Monday night football, Thursday night football, have teams playing with 4 days rest. They're basically going with a everything is fine approach, you know, and even in some places there's going to be fans, and the virus in the fall is only going to get worse. I just don't see how they pull this off. Like, the NFL, like, to me, they should cut the season to, like, 12 games. They should, like, come up with different ideas where the schedule is, like, spread out so they can absorb, like, sort of issues. They're walking into a hornet's nest, Jason.
Yeah, they certainly don't have the urgency that the NBA and NHL showed. I don't know. I'm confident in them to be able to sort out the bubble. I don't really know how. I don't know which states they would go to. Also, we got to remember there's a political aspect to this, is that a lot of these owners are Trump supporters, and they want to, you know, they want to make it appear like everything is normal. And that sports is perfectly back, and they want to downplay the COVID. I don't mean to get political, but that is a part of the story. We don't want to treat listeners like idiots. That is a massive part of the story. So the NFL also, you know, they've kind of owned the union, so to speak, in past CBAs. So they have every reason to think the players are going to play, or they can just kind of tell the players what to do, and they'll just take the money. So it's going to be interesting. I, if I was a betting man, I would take the long odds and say there's going to be a bubble, maybe a 12-game season. Maybe they'll just do, like, in conference, get rid of the interconference play, kind of tighten things up. I'd like to see that. Maybe even 14 games. I think, you know, at least with a bubble, there's no transportation. You can play every six days maybe and load it up. I'm confident in them. I believe in them.
All right, so we got a couple of minutes left here, Jason. I believe that they're – I believe in what you said about the – it is partly political. It's a small – it's something that's there without a doubt. But also just it's basically there. Sports owners are generally, for lack of a better word, evil. And they don't care. The players have signed waivers. The fans have signed waivers. I truthfully believe – and I think I am more cynical than you, but I do believe –
You are.
An owner would not lose a moment's sleep if a fan goes to their game and dies from coronavirus. You think Trump's losing any sleep right now that Herman Cain's dead after going to his rally? No.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. No, but the owners are the same. The owners are the same.
No, they're not. Look, I can't, you know, I will lovingly disagree with you. I think they do care about their fans. These people work very hard to cultivate fan bases. I also don't think they are that dead inside. Yes, there are certain degrees where owners do take fans for granted, or they raise prices or this and that, or they don't, you know, certainly in the NFL's case, they may not look like they really care about the players' long-term health, but I don't think they, you know,
they don't.
I think they do care for a bit. I think they do care about the fans a little bit. The players, a different story. They just, you know, they kind of cling to the CBA about what they both signed. But I just think, I just think that they do care about the fans. I don't think they're going to want to put them in danger. I know we talked about this last time. Like, I think sports teams are actually going to be a little bit more hesitant than other companies or other industries to let their fans back in, because they don't want to have the X on their back of being that company or being that industry that kind of had massive outbreaks, or that sort of treated their season ticket holders poorly or put them in danger.
Jason B. Takafin, with us. All right, Jason. So we're only up 2 minutes here. So this is a funny story. I talked about this last week. So ESPN actually drafted legal papers and filed with the XFL stating that basically the image and ultimate success of the XFL were heavily linked to the efforts, resources, and reputation of Vince McMahon. If Vince McMahon and his team and professionals are not running the XFL enterprise, then a key consideration for the telecast agreement has disappeared. And ESPN cannot be compelled to join a partnership with a assignee absent of ESPN's express consent. So they wanted out, and they filed legal papers to get out of their TV deal with the XFL. And now The Rock takes over. And I wonder if ESPN is impressed with trying to be in business with The Rock. And it's going to be hard for them to back out now, because you already filed the paper. You already did the statement. Here it is. So you already tried to weasel out of the deal. So it's comical. Now I'm sure they're going to, no. That was before, Rock. Okay, sit down, Dwayne. No, sit down. And it's good news. And you know what's crazy? The last sporting event that I was at was an XFL game. Right before the pandemic shut everything down, I was at a New York Guardian LA Express game at the Meadowlands MetLife Stadium. And it was a good time. And we won our bet, too. So it was a good time. I enjoyed the league. And I'm glad that The Rock is involved, because it was a good league. And I'm glad that the league's going to be back.
Yeah, the effort was there. I mean, look, I personally think there is a market for spring football. They have to cater the schedule accordingly. I think they should start in the week before the Super Bowl, and then also play the week of the Super Bowl on Saturday and Sunday. It's going to be interesting, because, you know, The Rock is such a big advertising sort of, he's a big media mogul. If he just promotes it, he's going to put a lot more eyeballs on it. I think they'll be in partnership with the NFL, as opposed to just being competitors like this XFL had too. They're going to want to, you know, obviously make sure they can try out different data, different stats and different stuff like that, to sort of make the NFL better and to be sort of a hub and a testing ground.
Jason, it's always a pleasure, my man. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us. Enjoy the playoffs. We'll catch up with you soon. Jason,
thank you, Gabe. Talk soon, pal.
Sports
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Sports Rage late night continues. The Rock. You know, it's amazing, and people don't know the story about Dwayne Johnson and The Rock. Of course, you know, listen, everybody knows, but, you know, he's a football player with the Miami Hurricanes. And he was okay. He wanted to play in the NFL, but he wasn't good enough to play in the NFL. But he actually did love football. So much so that he tried out for the Calgary Stampeders of the Canadian Football League. And he was going to make the team. He was going to make the team, but he was going to be like a backup. And he was going to be on special teams. And the head coach, Wally Buono, told him this and said, listen, you're going to make the team, but you're not that good. Like, Wally Buono's a hard-ass guy, and he basically told him. He goes, you're not great. He goes, you're never going to be great. He basically gave him, like, this speech. He said, you're going to make the team, but you're a backup linebacker, and you're going to be you'll play special teams. And he goes, you're never going to be a star. And he goes, you'll always be fighting for a spot on a team. And he goes, my own personal advice to you is, he goes, I would just be a wrestler. It's basically, you know, his family were all wrestlers, but Dwayne Johnson wanted to be a football player. And he told him, he goes, I know you're trying to create your own thing in life here by being a football player, but he goes, you were born to be a wrestler. And the rest is history. And now he owns a football league. Pretty crazy. Think of if he would have made the Calgary Stampeders, he would have made like $48,000 a year. Instead, I heard today The Rock's wealth is like $325 million or something like that. So he got the XFL for $15 million, him and his partners. That's nothing, right? So the $15 million, that's just for the name. And I'm sure they inherited a couple of debts and stuff. Where the money comes into play now is, you know, it's not cheap. And we've seen from the Alliance Football League and the XFL Football League of what it costs to run a football league for a year. And it's not cheap. Even like these secondary type of leagues, you know, listen, the Alliance League, it was going to be like $250 million. Vince was a little smarter. He was doing it for about $150. We're talking about $150 million, guys. Level 2 coming up. Bring it.